Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, the guy with the most boringest socks.
Oh, yeah.
Boring socks. Dave Popowicz, how are you doing?
Well, good. Nothing exciting today. It's too cold.
I am so disappointed in you. Normally, Popowicz comes in with the most interesting socks out there. Mm-hmm. Get ready.
Sometime. Oh.
Bang.
Get out of here.
Look
what is
at those socks.
What is it?
I got my hockey socks on.
Oh, okay. All right. Special reason for that today?
No, I was doing what I could find in the dark.
That fits you. That fits your interests for sure.
All right. Mr. Plain Socks, mm-hmm. Just black, boring. Black,
yep.
Markets and the economy wasn't so boring this week.
No, it was surprisingly good. But when I say that, some of the economic data was not that strong. That it's weird, right? So we'll talk about that.
Not that strong. So
like, look at manufacturing.
Bad was good for the markets.
Yeah, it can be confusing for people for a bit here. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about that. But we also are going to talk today about resilience in your retirement. This is a terrific segment because people, I was driving in to work on Friday morning, having a conversation with a client. The client says to me, I said, how you doing in retirement? He says, I'm still learning. Well, that's an interesting comment, isn't it? People think that you just quit work and you're retired. No. It's more than that. It's a change and often a very big change. And that change requires resiliency. We want to help people prepare for that.
You know, what's a big change as well?
What?
Buying a place overseas for retirement.
Absolutely.
How about the top 10 destinations you can buy for 2024,
love it.
Not just affordability, but a whole bunch of other criteria. We're going to find out what that criteria is, and
stick around for Faisal's destination to find out which destination.
Yeah,
that
I'll
is,
tell you it's where on the I'd list. Love to be, especially okay. In this weather, where I'd love to be.
Mm-hmm, exactly right. Okay, well, let's go back to the markets conversation, Faisal. It was, it's been an interesting week of data. We've got inflation data, we've got GDP data, we've got manufacturing data. And they're all. It's an interesting story that they tell. Let's start with inflation data, because the buildup to Thursday's release of the PCE inflation data in the United States was really quite palpable. So I was reporting all week this week on the news, and you could just feel the market's anxiety and apprehension ahead of that particular data.
Yep.
Nobody seemed to be wanting making big moves. If they were making moves, they were de-risking, selling ahead of that particular data set for fear that it was going to be stronger than expected. And why? Because the trend over the last little while has been stronger than expected. Inflation data doesn't mean inflation hasn't been trending down, but it's been stronger than expectation. And then on Thursday, what do we get? Right on the money.
Right on the money.
Market was confused about that. No, I shouldn't say that. I mean, what happened is it immediately markets moved positive when the news broke on a pre-market basis. But I can tell you they were confused. What do we do now? It's not stronger. It's not weaker. It's still a little bit, it's still higher at 2.8% higher than what the Federal Reserve wants to see, but it's as expected. And we didn't get that surprise hotter than expected. Now, markets ultimately decide this was a good news story and not a bad news story, but it was an interesting reaction.
Yeah, it's kind of like, when you step on the scale, mm-hmm. You kind of know what your weight is. You step on the scale, you see the number, and you're like, yeah, I thought so, but it's that number.
Right.
That's how it kind of felt.
Yep. That was right? The initial reaction.
That was the sentiment in the markets. And then you realize, I can just take off.
Hey, I didn't gain weight.
I can take off these ugly socks and I can save half a pound. Yep. Woohoo! Right? Like that kind of thing. So I think that's where we are right now. We're just stepping on the scale, looking at the number. We know what the number is. We have a feeling what the number is. We may not like the number,
right. But
it's the number.
Right. And a collective sigh of relief. Right? We didn't get heavier this week. Okay, good. Well, what about Canadian GDP? Well, we're not talking about you specifically.
I got heavier this week.
What about Canadian GDP?
GDP numbers looking interesting. Mm-hmm. From the experience of the GDP numbers, here's what I have a problem with. It's not fully clean in the metric of exactly where the GDP growth is coming from.
In Canada. Yeah.
Because there is a couple of external variables that kind of swing the data, more so when you have 500,000 people move into the country,
right.
It's going to swing the data to a certain way.
Right.
But our exports are down, which also impacts GDP numbers.
Yep.
And anybody saw that the price of oil has been down, which also impacts our export numbers. So our net exports is showing a decline.
Right.
So that slows down the economy, but not a recession.
Well, in fact, we got better than expected news on Canadian economic performance from a headline perspective,
right? That's the masking I'm referring to. Yeah. You bring in 500,000 people,
yeah,
you're going to have some stimulus.
And, yeah, and so this is actually interesting. So just so people know, as from a market wrap-up perspective, the Canadian economy in the fourth quarter grew 1% on December. It matched expectation, 0.2%. But the third quarter, which was a negative 1.1, okay, so we were at risk of having a technical recession in Canada. We didn't get it. And in fact, the third quarter got revised better from a negative 1.1 to a negative 0.5%. So the Canadian economy is stronger than expected. To your point, we've got a lot of new Canadians. So when you dig under the surface of that, sometimes there is, there's some evidence to suggest that on a per capita basis, right, our economic performance is actually falling.
Bingo.
And it'll be interesting to see how the Bank of Canada deals with that.
And it's not like our productivity is getting better.
No.
So per capita basis of GDP down, productivity not as strong. So there's some concerns in Canada. Yep. Now, does that matter to the world, the stock market? Not really.
Yeah.
Right. Only if you're investing in companies who are 100% or primarily dependent on the Canadian economy.
Right.
Then yeah, you've got some concern in your portfolio.
Yeah.
But to the global market,
yeah,
not important.
Yeah, not an issue. But it is nice to say that we at least weren't in a recession in Canada, because some countries did in the last half of last year.
Here's what I've been saying now for a couple of years. Number one, no incumbent prime minister wants to go into an election in a recession. Mm-hmm. Number two, what can really mess up the process of this interest rate increase is stimulus on the fiscal side,
right?
Provincial or federal.
Correct.
Now, I'm not saying these programs are good or bad. I'm just talking about the programs being stimulative. When you have a dental plan for every Canadian practically,
yep,
in some form, and you're adding a whole bunch of more people that have access to that kind of care, it's stimulative.
Yeah, because there's more spending taking place.
When you have a universal pharmacare, it's stimulative.
Right.
You're going to hear, and this is my guess, based on all the information that I have, you're going to hear universal basic income being thrown around probably later on this year, if not early next year.
All right, we'll hold you to that one, and that'll be an interesting conversation.
That is super stimulative, disruptive, but super stimulative. Go back to the pandemic when everybody got CERB.
Yep.
That was stimulative.
Right.
And if you're going to bring that back in, whatever the amount is or however, it is a great political tactic to get elected, even though it may not come out the way that they're describing it.
Right.
But any type of fiscal stimulus while you're raising interest rates can be counterproductive. It may prevent us from getting into a recession, but that doesn't mean it's going to bring inflation down as quickly as the Bank of Canada would want.
It is a bit of a slippery slope for all central banks right now. When is bad news good news? When is bad news good news?
Well, when it falls in your narrative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point. Okay, so let me give you an example. On Friday, got some data on manufacturing in the United States. And contrary to, the manufacturing sector has been in a recession, I would argue, globally for most countries. And we got a little bit weaker reading in the United States than what was expected. And some of the underlying price pressures were out too. So that's a good news story in the markets, because it takes some of the pressure off the Federal Reserve with respect to their monetary policy. In Canada, we got the opposite. We actually got an improvement, right? And so there's going to be a difference. And you and I have talked about this. There's going to be a difference in the recovery of does an economy go to recession, right? Japan and Germany, okay, in recession for the last half of last year, we skipped it. U.S. is not even close. They're still growing like crazy. There's going to be some differences now going forward about how different economies are either slowing or reaccelerating.
So generally speaking, global pandemic hits the entire world to a recessionary period. After the pandemic, generally speaking, a global recovery.
Right.
Now, is it all going to be the same in the same direction?
Right.
We think not.
Right.
So stay tuned for the next 6-7 months to find out which countries are going where and where the opportunities lie.
Well, let's talk about that. We've got a couple of upcoming seminars, actually.
Yeah, let's talk about opportunities and how to protect your retirement throughout going forward with everything in front of you. The first one's on Tuesday, March 5th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn in Calgary. And on Tuesday, March 19th in Lethbridge at the Sandman Hotel, you need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, stick around after the break, because transitioning to retirement comes with it a bag of anxieties. How do you build your resilience going into that so you have the highest quality retirement? Well, stay tuned after the break, and we'll discuss that. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.